It's still surreal to me that other people are reading my book at all, because it's my first book. So I wrote for so long with no one reading anything, and then suddenly a lot of people are reading it. It's pretty incredible.
It is a little bit surreal, isn't it, for a first-time writer? And we often hear this thing where people come out and they say, oh, it's the next Tim Winton, or it's the next this. And it must be pretty daunting for you, though, to hear that sort of thing.
It doesn't quite sink in, I think. It doesn't quite land right down into the guts of me. I can't quite believe that someone would say that about something that I've written. It's lovely to hear. When they first gave me the cover art for the book, actually put on the front in the tradition of Val Parrott's Past the Shallows and Tim Winton's An Open Swimmer, and I was ecstatic, but I hadn't read either of those books. So my mum actually went and bought me the books to read. I was a big fan of Tim Winton's, and now I'm a big fan of Favell. So lovely to hear things like that, yeah.
Well, I expect that they made those comparisons because it's a coming-of-age story in a way that you've written, but it's also something that examines the relationships between sons and fathers, and it examines those whole aspects of masculinity and what it means to be actually a man, you know? What sort of qualities are we looking for too?
Yeah, it's definitely about that. And I think it's wrapped up. If you wanted to sell the book, you could say it's set on a whaling station on Tangalooma in 1961. So it's sort of got that historic aspect. But to me, the most important part of the story was father and son relationship. And how sometimes I think when two different people are in a loving relationship like that, sometimes they're just very different people with different ways of loving one another. So the father is a very stern sort of a typical bloke. He's sort of a bit macho. He's tough. You know, he's lost a couple of fingers on his hand in the war. You know, he's like a war hero. He's tough. And the boy's a bit more sensitive. He's a bit more gentle. There's actually where the title comes from. There's a proverb at the start. Which says, there's no eel so small, but it hopes to become a whale. And to me, I feel like I grew up as an eel, and always sort of feeling like looking at all these other macho whales around me, thinking, I wish I could fit in, I wish I could look like these guys and be able to build stuff with my hands and care about cars and things like that. But I think eels should be happy being eels. There's different types of strength, I guess, is what this book's about.
We don't have video on air here, but I have to say, you don't look like an eel. You're a big, brawny kind of masculine-looking guy.
That's part of sort of stepping outside your comfort zone too. So I started going to gym because I wasn't, you know, I'm not a physical guy. So I started going.
I can see the muscles, listeners. I can see the muscles under the shirt.
Oh, gosh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, yes, without giving too much away in the book, we should say that in order to toughen up his son, father takes his this young boy whaling with him, and he sees all the horrors of whaling, which is, like, you know, for grown men is often very hard to handle. It was a horrible industry. How did you research that lot?
What I found originally was I had the scenes of the father and son sort of living together, and because the mother passes away right from the beginning of the book, which I'll read from. So the mother's dead right from the start, and so they have to sort of forge this new relationship together. And so it was a very difficult thing to actually go and take him back to this whaling station. And I wanted him to be a bit of a tough jerk to his kid, because that's where a book comes to life, right? You have tension, you have the kid wanting to get approval, and the dad's tough. And so I thought, what's a cool job? And I went on to Google, and I'm from North Brisbane. So I sort of started to research interesting historical jobs that, you know, things that I might not have heard of. And I stumbled onto these pictures of the whaling station over on Tangalooma. And the pictures are, for our modern sensibility, they're just grotesque. There's these huge whale carcasses, and just the red, it's just all red blood just running in like little gutters that lined the sides of the deck that would let the blood just run down into the water. So it was really confronting. But the guys who were working on the station, they were just guys. They weren't, I always pictured a whaler to be like Ahab. You know, he had a monocle and he had a little mustache that he'd twirl and, you know, from hell's heart I stab at thee and all that sort of evil person nonsense. They're just men. And they were providing for their families. They didn't see it as like an evil sort of thing. So that really struck me, that this world in this setting of the book is a norm. And that was hard. So then I went on to find a book called The Whalers of Tangalooma. So I got a lot of my research from that book. When I was a kid, I always thought that, Australians had grown a conscience and sort of gone, oh no, look at this magnificent creature. We don't want to hurt these anymore. And the morality came up, but it was just we just killed so many of them, we couldn't sustain the industry anymore.
It was economics.
It's quite terrifying for us, like, with our modern sensibility and how endangered. And I mean, it's the opposite industry now. We have whale sightseeing tours. And then to see these whales that are so magnificent and, you know, to me, they always represent this type of an element that can't be controlled. They're these huge, monstrous sort of looking beasts. And to me, it's so beautiful that you can't control these things. But unfortunately, man did control them, and they did sort of exert a type of dominance over them. And I think that's a tragic thing.
It starts with a funeral. I mean, what else? Where can you go when you start with a death? You can only go up, can't you?
Yeah. It's a bit sad to start with. But there was actually, in one of the first drafts of the novel, I actually had missed out on something vital, which was the boy was missing his mum through the whole book. But I don't think my audience or the readers were really missing the mother. So I thought, how do I actually get them to feel the things the boy is feeling? And so then I had to go back through the novel, insert these flashback chapters to sort of show what life had been like with her. So in the contrast with his, you know, this new life with his dad, which is tough and severe, you've got this soft type of life with his mum. And I think that contrast really helped the book. It's actually an edit, so I'm so grateful for my editors for pointing out that little thing.
That's what you have editors for.
Definitely.
They're very important.
Invaluable.